Well, you ought to check probably with the legislators, but I think I can give you the correct answer. I believe that the Budget Committee, which is this particular year is chaired by Representative Espick, supervises the technical committee and could ask them at any time to correct their mistake. And again, I think that's the obvious and necessary first step, and the sooner we get that taken care of, the sooner we can move on. They could do it in 2 minutes. I mean, we only have one moment, please. Here, for this. We only have 2 months left before we'll know to the penny. May is a small month. It cannot move the needle much. June's a little bigger. But April is the big collection month. So, it would be very hard, knowing what we now know, to miss by too much. The fact is, they said April was going to get better, and it got much worse. They think May will actually bring in more money than May last year. I don't think so. How much I wish. So, with just 2 months to go, we ought to be able to fix a new estimated starting point that is pretty close. We won't like the number, but it'll be more accurate by about $1 billion than what the legislature was dealing with last week.
Governor, with potential cuts of Chrysler and because of bankruptcy and GM having shut down plants for 8 weeks, how is that going to impact, you know, Indiana jobs, revenue collections, and how do you folks start to take that into account with the budget you're forecasting down the road as well?
It's an excellent point. You know, it's hard to find anything in the news right now that says that the near term will get any better than the reality that we've been experiencing.
Have you decided that we're going to call the legislature back, and does this mean that June would be the better month than May?
My bias is always to deal with problems now and quickly, but once again, we have a first and essential step, and that is a new forecast that corrects for this massive error. So that the legislature must be working with good information. As soon as they are, we might be able to move very rapidly.
Senator Long said he thought the budget that failed had enough authority in there for you to be able to restrain spending once it became law. Can you talk about what specifically was in that budget that would have inhibited you? Was it mostly had to do with capital projects, or was there other language?
Well, Pat, there were those, yes. There were inhibitions, there were limitations on that. I also mentioned the ability to control prescription drug spending. That was a $40 million per year item. So there was authority, but there was less authority than governors have seen for a long time in a period when we need more, not less, because the swings and the difficulties that we're facing are larger than before. You mean at the end of the period? Well, we have to be realistic. We're probably going to use some of it, but it ought to be on the order of today. It has to be. Maybe it'd be good if we tried that one again. So, yeah. It has to be at least large enough to deal with any revenue shortfall that we are facing, any structural deficit that we might be facing at the end of the budget period. So that's one of those boundary conditions when we have a new forecast that I may reset it. Might be slightly different than the $1.3 billion we entered this process with. I don't know, but as I've said many times, we are not quarreling with the economic work that went into this forecast. We defer to the committee in that respect. But there's no arguing with the facts, and the facts are that April, like March, like February, were we were seeing far lower revenues than were expected. And I think it may be, and it was suggested to me, that as a matter of good practice, since we need a new forecast anyway, the committee may want to go back to Global Insight and ask them, do you want to change your growth projections for the future? But that's probably not likely, since they just made them 2 or 3 weeks ago. What this forecast was $1 billion wrong about was today. Let's hope they're not off as to the future. It may just be inevitable. If this line doesn't change, there may be no alternative but to use some. But I say again, those reserves are the taxpayers' last line of defense before a major tax hike. And this state's workers do not deserve that, and we're not going to let it happen.
What are the reserves now? It's still $1.3 billion?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For the moment. About that.
Governor, House Democrats have made the point that any more budget cuts tonight would do serious harm to education. A, what's your response? And B, can you folks close this gap without touching education spending?
A, education spending is being slashed all over America. Indiana schools are more fortunate than any other state I know of. There's nowhere else I know of where people are talking about increases. But that's the fantasy land we were living in, or the legislature was living in, I suppose, in using a forecast that was $1 billion off at the revenue line. I'll also observe that, as I have before, education dollars are not well spent. 40 cents does not make it to the classroom of every dollar. And there are many, many ways in which economies could come to education, which seems to be the one place where no one is ever supposed to find an efficiency or share in the difficulty that we're experiencing here.
Governor, have you looked at any of the election bills that the legislature passed and given thoughts on those? One would allow online voter registration, another would deal with votes
and not yet. I just said have a better answer. Always have a better answer. I said that the party needs to face up to the fact they have to spend some time in the penalty box. We have to be a loyal opposition. And where there are things that the administration is doing that we can agree with, I cited education policy, should say so that when you have to take exception, people know it's not just a knee-jerk reaction. But I think they called here because things look a little different in Indiana. I referred them to the fact that I'd used the exact same phrase 2 and 3 and 4 years ago, referring to our opposition as the party of no or the party of yesterday, and said that to me that means that being the party of change or the party of no is not a partisan matter. It can be, it's a choice either party can make. And so I've said exactly what I've said for 4 years when I talk about the party of purpose in Indiana. I'm always telling my fellow Republicans, if we ever stop being the party that defines the agenda, that offers the new ideas to make people's lives better, that stands for reform, then it'll be our turn to go. And I think that happened nationally, but the reverse is the case in Indiana. Well, here, Betsy, let me just give you this one. Yeah, okay. The effect of ending 09 at a much lower level, even if, back to Leslie's question, even if the economic growth forecasts of Global Insight are correct for the following 2 years, is to reduce the available funds, the amount we have to spend, by over $1 billion. So that gives you the rough order of the challenge we're facing. But please, we're talking about $28 to $29 billion total. So this is a manageable, difficult, but manageable item. May I also remind you that there'll be a couple billion a year of federal stimulus money being spent in Indiana during that period. So even if, after we have dealt with this shortfall, there'll be a record amount of public spending going on. Thank you very much. I hope that was clear.
Thank you.
Nicely done, by the way. Done.
Thanks.
Yeah. Are you guys getting tired of my little charts?
No, they're getting tired.
Well, I mean, well, I can't help you there, Abdul. But you know, you guys, people, I mean, you or your readers, you have to start with facts in order to make an informed judgment. I don't mean to overwhelm you with facts. It's just that